Shattenkirk, the shot, rattled around, rebound, score! VC again!
And they're jumping for joy at Belmont Hill, Harvard, and Charlestown, Massachusetts.
And at MSG last night, the Rangers, there's only one team hotter in the East than the Habs right now. That was the Rangers' fifth straight win. Two goals in, 30 seconds by Jimmy Vesey as they beat the Bruins 4-2 on NBC Sports. Back home, Pierre McGuire. How you doing, Pierre?
Good, Mitch. Great, actually. Thank you.
All right. What'd we miss?
You know what? The Bruins showed a lot of pushback for a young team. I was really impressed because they, after the first period, it was not looking good. And they pushed back, and it was obviously led by Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron in terms of leadership. And Tuukka came up with some really good saves when they had to have them. They eventually didn't have enough, and they lost. But think about it. Just think about this for a second. I know Montreal fans don't care about the Boston Bruins, but there's no David Krejci. There's no David Backes. There's no Brad Marchand. You're talking about a lot of, you know, Ryan Spooner, too. That just came into my head. So you're talking about a lot of people omitted, and they're trying to break in young players as they go along. I think they're actually handling themselves pretty well. Now, they've got a tough back-to-back with Toronto coming up, a home-and-home and a back-to-back with Toronto. But spent a lot of time with Patrice yesterday before the game, and I would say they're actually trending in the right direction, boss. And in terms of the Rangers, I learned a lot about them. Lundqvist really cares. Hayes really cares. Pavel Buchnevich has got a chance to be a star in the league. Jimmy Vesey, if he's deployed properly, has a chance to be really good. Ryan McDonagh cares. He and Nick Holden have been a really good tandem together, and Shattenkirk helps their power play a lot.
So it was looking rather bleak for the Rangers, especially if you know and respect Alain Vigneault with all the stuff swirling around them, and it looks like they have been playing to save his job.
Well, I think they have a lot of pride in terms of being Rangers. Secondly, I don't think they thought the coach was the problem. Thirdly, I think that, you know, they've had some roster turbulence and they're starting to figure that out. But I would say this, is that Kreider and Buchnevich in particular, two huge, they're both big people. They're very good players. But Mika Zibanejad has the ability to take his game to a level that would probably put him into the top 10 centermen in the league. Now, I'm not saying he's there yet, but if he gets there, that's going to be huge for the Rangers, and I think he's got the ability to do that.
Nylander to Riley. Riley's wrist shot. Deflect, scores! That comes off the backboards. I don't know if Leo Komarov touches this or not. I don't think he does. But it goes off the back of the foot of the goalkeeper and in.
Tonight I thought we gave a really good effort and we did, you know, I mean, and I don't think you heard me once talk about puck luck last year, but I mean, I think sometimes that's where it is. I mean, Cullen misses at one end, they score at the other end, or we're probably going into the third period with a 2-1 lead.
That's three losses in a row. Bruce Boudreau in the Wild in Minnesota last night to Nazem Kadri and the Leafs 4-2.
When I got back from the game in New York, I watched that game entirely on tape. Minnesota should have won that game, and they should have won that game going away. Freddie Anderson was the difference for Toronto. The save that Bruce Boudreau's talking about with the Matt Cullen opportunity off the right pad of Freddie Anderson, that was the turning point of the game. Toronto's in-zone coverage was terrible, and it's got to be better, or they're not going to be the team that I thought they could be, which is a home-seeded team in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Their penalty killing is not good enough. It's got to be better. The goalie covered up a lot of blemishes last night. But Minnesota worked last night. They gave an effort, and they worked. They were a completely different team from the team that I saw play Monday night in Boston, where they were terrible. They were not bad. They were terrible.
Yeah, and Boudreau was angry. He called out Niederreiter after that game, right?
Well, he called out the whole team. He said it was embarrassing, and he was right to say that. And I support Bruce. You asked me the other day about Shane Knighty. I coached against Bruce Boudreau. I think we played 16 or 18 times against one another that one year. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's a tremendous coach. I think he's somebody that's really prepared. And he has an ability to motivate guys, so I have a lot of respect for him. And I, again, when you coach against somebody, you kind of know their strengths and weaknesses, and I think he's got a lot of strengths.
So, again, they're scuffling. It's not just three in a row. It's four of the last five. The only game they won was against the Canadiens in Minnesota, and the Habs appear to be a different team right now.
Tell me about the injury situation, because you guys are close.
Andrew Shaw is playing, and Alan Walsh, agent for Jonathan Drouin, among others, is going to rejoin us for Agent Provocateur for a good chunk of the hockey season in about 30 minutes. But I would imagine, since Jonathan Drouin was speaking after the skate this morning, that he'll play. But we don't know that for 100% yet.
Well, that matters, though, if both those guys can play. And let's just say they're 80 to 100%. That's better than what the options would be coming out of the American Hockey League. So that would help Montreal a lot. The one thing I would say is, and you said it correctly, by the way, you're the sage one on this. This is a good week for the Canadiens to stockpile points, because they're catching teams tired. They're catching teams in Montreal, and they're catching teams after they have to play in Toronto. So there's a lot of emotional energy that goes into the Toronto game, and there's a lot of emotional energy that goes into the Montreal game. And if you're not able to win in Toronto, how are you going to win in Montreal? So I think you're on to something there. So that's not Montreal's fault, by the way. That's positive for the Canadiens. But you made that point, and you were bang on with that, Mitch.
And plus, again, much like when they faced them in Minnesota, they don't have Charlie Coyle, and they're not going to have Zach Parise for.
Yeah, but that's not Montreal's fault, right?
But I'm talking in terms of potentially 2 points as opposed to.
Well, I understand that, but who's playing in goal for Minnesota?
We don't know. We should. We're supposed to get a press update at this hour at the Bell Center. They didn't skate, and
Devin hasn't played well
again last night.
Devin hasn't played well at all, and. I like him so much, and his family's in the car business in Lethbridge, Alberta. I'm a big fan of the families. One of the more delightful afternoon/early evenings I ever spent in Nashville was with Devin Dubnyk's family at the All-Star break, and I would tell you that they are awesome folks. I guess that's the best way to describe them, and so I'm always cheering for him to do well. But he hadn't played well. He hadn't played well this year. That's just the reality of it.
Yep. Well, the reports are that we're going to see Dubnyk tonight for Minnesota.
Yeah, they better hope that he bounces back, because he hadn't played well. He didn't even play well against Montreal in the blowout game. Think about the Gallagher goal from the bad angle. Remember that goal? That's what made that game so friendly. That game could have been terribly ugly for Montreal.
Yep, there's no denying that. Now, you often remind us of the classic Scotty Bowman line, you're only as good as your last shift, and your last shift is just okay. And in that context, the Canadiens, generally they should be feeling pretty good about where they are, winning streak, and some of the key players have emerged. But do you get to a point where do you feel too comfortable, and how do you always stay on that edge so the hunger's always there?
That's the coach's job. The edge is the coach's job. That's really well said, Rod. You know what's cool? It's a cool story. Brady Shea and Charlie Lindgren were teammates at Lakeville High School in Minnesota. He looked at me last night when there was a downtime and a TV timeout. He goes, "I heard you were pumping my boy from Lakeville." I said, "Yeah, he's a good player. He's a really good player." He goes, "Oh, boy, is he ever good," talking about Charlie. So Brady Shea was acknowledging his former teammate, and I would say that, you know, one of the cool things is that the coach can hold players accountable, but I think the players have a lot of respect and trust Charlie playing in goal, and I think that helps a lot.
So, Pierre, tonight Byron Fraze is going to get that spot on the fourth line with Michael McCarron being sent to the American Hockey League. We spoke about that aspect of it yesterday. But just for the Canadiens, as far as the fourth line is concerned, what are you hoping to get out of the fourth line, considering how this team is made up?
Energy, more than anything else. And Byron can win faceoffs. He's a spunky player. I guess that's the best way to describe him. But I would say win faceoffs, get people to the net, play a forecheck game. Don't give up a ton of chances in your own zone. Don't ice the puck. You know, that's the one thing. You know, I don't know how much Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick, and Rod, I don't know how much coaches stress that, because I'm down there, you know, obviously for every game that I broadcast, almost 120 a year. And since the icing rule changed, I never hear really coaches talking to depth players, don't ice the puck. Because when depth players ice the puck, that creates terrible mismatches. So I think it's something that, and I talked to a GM today about that, because he was asking me different ideologies, and I just said the one thing I would tell my depth players is don't ice the puck. Because if you do, that's going to create mismatch situations. So I think that's one of the things that I would be paying attention to with my depth players more than anything else.
So let's find out what Claude Julien tells his recent call-ups.
You know, we brought you up for a reason, and you know what those reasons are. We're not asking you to do more. Just go out there and do what you do well, and that's all we need from you, and enjoy the process of that. I don't want them nervous, and, you know, I want them to know that just because they make a little mistake here or there, it's not the end of the world. We're all going to make mistakes at some point, but it's more about, you know, the focus on going out there and doing their job well.
So if you ice
the
puck.
Can I back him up?
Yeah.
Okay. Chicago, Boston. He's coaching Boston. And they're playing in Chicago, and Ryan Spooner is probably in his first year in a bit. So he is a neophyte in the NHL. He's on the power play. He makes an egregious turnover. It leads to a shorthanded goal. Chicago scores. I think it may have been Holse, if I remember correctly, just off the top of my head. And the next power play, Claude put Spooner out there. He never castigated the kid. He never screamed at him. He never beat him over the head with it, and Spooner went out and did some amazing things in that game. I believe Boston won that game. You'd have to look it up, but I think Boston won that game. It was a Sunday afternoon game a few years ago. It might have been in Spooner's first or second year or halfway through his second year. It was an amazing display of a coach saying to a young player, I'm believing in you, I'm trusting you, I'm going to support you. So I totally believe what Claude just said there.
There and getting to the front of that and shooting everything I got. So that's my game plan. I know. Take from experience 2 years ago when I played in Winnipeg, I tried to do too much. And, you know, when you're in front of your hometown and home family, you try to do a little too much. So definitely took a lesson out of that, and I'm not going to do that again.
There's Brian Frazee. He's from Winkler, Manitoba. And he
you
played
know who's from there? Eddie Belfour.
Eddie Belfour from Winkler, Manitoba.
Carmen and Winkler are right next to each other.
So he played with the Leafs, right? He played 50-odd games a couple years ago with the Leafs.
Mike Babcock really trusted him.
So it's interesting when you, okay, you understand a guy trying not to do too much, you're a little over-amped, and maybe you do things like panic with the puck and you end up icing it.
He won't. This kid won't. He's a professional. He spent a lot of time in the American Hockey League. He's a pro. He's a perfect organizational man. I credit the Canadiens for signing him. That speaks to me of Marty Lapointe and Larry Carrier and probably Scotty Mellenby, guys that are touring the American Hockey League, which is not really a gravy train in terms of fun scouting. Because you're maybe looking for one or two guys out of a league of 31 teams, but you maybe find one or two or three guys that can help you. That's hard duty. But when you can find somebody like Fraze, that's really good. That's tremendous. That's a great acquisition.
And you'll like this. His favorite player, Mark Recchi.
Oh, yeah, I'll always like that. That was the best part of my night last night. I don't cheer for anybody to win or lose. I just hope everybody plays as well as they can play. And last night before the game, Patrice Bergeron and I were sitting around while the Bruins were trying to warm up near the Zambonis with their soccer ball. And Patrice came up and he says, you're going to be in Toronto this weekend for Rex's thing? I said, no, I can't be there. I feel terrible. I can't be there. So I sent Mark a long note this morning and we talked this morning by email and text. But, the Bruins players, like Bergeron and Marchand in particular, and Chara, I'm sure I didn't talk to Big Z, but those guys, they so appreciate and respect what Mark Recchi meant to their franchise, especially in 2011. Part of my note, and I have no problem sharing this with you, to Mark, was sitting at the Pan Pacific Hotel with Mark the night before Game 7. It was just he and I, and if you've ever been in that hotel, it's a spectacular hotel that overlooks the harbor in Vancouver. And we were sitting there talking and going over our careers, and especially his, obviously, because it's a momentous occasion. I said, the last time I had a talk with somebody that was in your position was with Scotty Bowman in 2002, just before they won the Stanley Cup in Detroit. And I said, you're acting just like him. You're visualizing the same way he did, and I think you're going to win.
They knew it, right?
They really felt they were going to win that Game 7. Remember, they lost the first two games in Vancouver, and that was the year that they had lost the first two games in Boston and Montreal, and then they went to Lake Placid and eventually won the series, not to bring up bad memories. But I remember Mitch sitting there with him at the Pan Pacific, and him, it was amazing because the confidence, it reminded me so much of Scotty sitting with him at the Grosse Pointe Yacht Club. And he told me that night, he says, don't tell anybody. Don't say a word to anybody. If we win tomorrow, it's my last game. I'm like, whoa, really? You know how hard it is to keep a secret like that?
Well, it's a reminder that in the month of November, it means the Hockey Hall of Fame, and that's where Pierre's going with that. Just before we switch to something else here for a couple of minutes, you know, things have looked pretty good for the Canadiens of late. They got a bit of a setback today, courtesy of Sean Campbell and the Laval Rocket. Noah Juulsen was supposed to be out 6 weeks. It's 6 weeks. Apparently, he's had a setback, and now there's no timetable for his return.
That I feel so bad for that young man. He's, you know, I've been telling you forever, I thought he was probably the best prospect the Canadiens had now after the trading of Sergachev. And that's not a knock on Victor Mete at all. Victor's done great, great things, so good for him. But Noah's got huge upside just because of his size and his skating ability and the opportunity to read plays. That's tough to hear. I had no idea about that. Thanks for informing me.
After Pierre's game in New York.
Nemetsikov, he'll counter. Vladdy to center ice, right wing Stamkos. Across the blue line, right point. 50 seconds left on what's been a very quiet power play for the Lightning so far. Burns a steal for a hurdle. Couldn't walk past Stamkos. Stamkos a keep. Right circle, Killorn. A feed to the left circle, Kucherov. Holds. Shoots off the outside of the post. Rebound, Stamkos behind the net. Back for Kucherov, left circle, a feed. Score! Nemetsikov! Another tic-tac-toe play! Two goals tonight for Vladdy. Roof that baby, and it's 5-1.
In San Jose, you keep waiting for these three guys as a trio. Now, that was power play, but they all had, I think they had 9 points last night. You keep waiting for an off night or just something that they, you know, you don't notice them. It's just they're on fire.
I never heard of Vladdy Nemetsikov. Who is he?
Yeah.
Huh?
Pierre?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Who is he?
Who is he?
I never heard of him. Told you a long time ago. Star player. This kid was a steal.
Well, I should
that
point out.
Scouting personified. He was a tremendous London Knight. You know, everybody focuses in on the elite players. I understand that. He's just, his hockey sense is exquisite. It's not good, it's exquisite. And they developed him properly. They really did, putting him in the American Hockey League, spending time in Syracuse. He's special. He's a special player. And he's only going to get better. This is a guy that's only going to get better.
Yeah, I should point out that early on when it was obvious how Stamkos and Kucherov were clicking, is Pierre who said, don't forget the third guy on that line.
Yeah, no, but it's even last year, I remember when Stamkos was out, and obviously terrible injury situations for Steven, Nemetsikov is, you watch him play and you just say, his hockey sense is off the charts. It's not something that fans find appealing because you don't see it. It's not part of making the game fun to watch. It's how he picks up his checks, how he forces turnovers, how he angles players to the boards, how he creates transition opportunities, how he forechecks, where's the stick positioning. And that's not fun to watch. That's not fun. It's not enjoyable. The fun part is passes tape to tape. The fun part is pucks elevated at the top of the net. The fun part is spinorama moves or beating guys one-on-one with toe drags. That's fun. The other stuff's not fun, but no, he's... By the way, Martin Jones didn't have a good game last night either.
Yeah, again, there are a lot of goalies around the league right now who are not in top form. Far from it.
Let me ask you this, because you are a former goalie or maybe a continual goalie.
No, I haven't played in decades,
okay.
Pierre.
I think the slashing rule is a huge problem for goalies. They're being exposed to opportunities from shooters that they haven't been exposed to in a very long time.
I don't think there's any question about that. And I know there are some defensemen around the league who have said publicly and privately it's tougher. They're finding it tougher to adjust, to play their position in front of the net. So it's twofold. It's defensemen not being able to tie them up and goalies seeing higher quality shots.
No question. And so that's going to be an issue. And wait till they shrink the goalie pads. Have they done that yet?
No, they haven't done that. That's been delayed until next year.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe they won't. Maybe they knew all along. Let's wait. Let's see what kind of effect this has. And
yeah. Okay.
All right, what are we going to see tonight when the puck drops at 7:35?
I think Bruce will get his guys going. I think Minnesota will be ready to play tonight. They were very ready to play last night. This is going to be – now, you have to tell me again, if you think Drouin's playing
– I would be. We're going to find out in about five
that's
minutes.
That's a big part of this tonight.
Yeah, no question.
It's, I personally think, because with Staal and Koivu back-to-back, that's a tough matchup for Montreal down the middle. But if Drouin can play, that changes a little bit of dynamic in favor of Montreal. It helps them a lot. But I would say Montreal better have their A game tonight. That would be the most critical part of this. Charlie will be pumped up in goal. Charlie will want to put on a show. This will be a big tonight in Minnesota. I know it's Thursday Night Football, but tonight in Minnesota, this will be the most watched thing in the state of Minnesota, Montreal, Minnesota. The people in Minnesota respect the Canadiens so much.
I should leave it there, but I can't help but point out that Nemeshnikov, that's a pretty good year in the first round in 2011.
You think?
Wow, that was impressive. Nugent Hopkins, Landeskog, Huberdeau, Adam Larson, Ryan Strom, who's yep. still trying to figure it out, Zibanejad, Scheifele, Couturier, Dougie Hamilton, Jonas Brodin, JT Miller, Canadian 17 drafted Nathan Beaulieu, Klefbom, Joe Morrow, Philip Deneau at the bottom of the draft, and then Nemeshnikov.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, you know, drafting matters. It matters a lot. And it comes down to you know what, Mitch? I'm not going to try to be mean here because I don't think that's appropriate. I think it's really important to be on it. And I think on it is when you see players that get drafted at the appropriate time, it's scouting, it's organizational philosophy.